Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about new weekly insured numbers for Tesla in China. We've got a couple of updates on Tesla in Texas, and an interesting trademark story that has been developing throughout the day today, as well as a few other items as well. Tesla stock on the day today up 5.1%, closing at $113.64, so shaking off a little bit of the down 12% that we had yesterday, but still some ways to go on recovering from that. The NASDAQ today was up 0.7%. So I know people are probably tired a little bit of talking about China numbers and looking at this so closely, but you can't blame me when the title of the episode is China numbers. So we are going to take a look at those. We do have new weekly insured numbers for Tesla in China for December 26th through January 1st. We did see another decline here, as we have been seeing the last few weeks. That total weekly registration number came to 4,338 vehicles for Tesla in China. So as we have been talking about, we sort of saw this spike after the price cuts that happened here, and we have now seen the decline continue since that point in time into the end of the quarter. Now, obviously, for this period of time, Tesla did have Giga Shanghai shut down. We know that at some point here they did shift to exporting vehicles. So how important this data is, obviously that is up for us to determine and to decide. But at the same time, we did see Tesla obviously pushing end of quarter delivery numbers here in the United States, adding those incentives at the end of the quarter. So presumably, if there would have been higher demand, more orders in China, they would have shifted more of that production to domestic orders in China and fulfilled those to bring those delivery numbers up. So although there are some factors here that are contributing to this, it is still a point that investors are going to be looking at very closely to determine how important this data is and how forward-looking it sort of provides for us. Not a good sentence structure there, but you guys get my point. How important this data is going to be going forward? How much is this going to change as we enter Q1? So I know obviously COVID is a factor right now in China that could have affected Tesla's planning for sure. Could obviously affect orders and demand. Those things are all important to consider. But at the same time, in terms of logistical challenges that those present, as we've been talking about, BYD has continued to sell their vehicles. So just looking at this for logistics purposes, showing that they have been, continued to be able to increase their insured vehicle numbers week by week throughout December. And important to note that sales of passenger cars, the entire market in China, that was flat on a week-to-week basis. So obviously there are things here within Tesla's business that are causing this to decline, and whether those are logistical or planning things like exporting vehicles or whether it's more order related, obviously I think it's some combination of both of those things. That is sort of, the situation that we're looking at here in China. Now, as we do have this final week of data, that gives us a pretty good idea of where the quarterly numbers are going to come in. Later this week, we should get the CPCA official numbers for, I guess not official from Tesla's perspective, but the CPCA report of retail or domestic sales for Tesla in China. And right now, based on those insured numbers, it's looking like basically the exact same results as last quarter. Last quarter was about 120,000 for Tesla in China. And with this number, we're looking right at that same level, maybe within a few hundred vehicles. It'll really depend on what the split between the insured vehicle number and the retail domestic sales number ends up being. Sometimes those can vary by a few thousand vehicles for whatever reason. But depending on how that all gets split out, Tesla pretty much looking at flat sales quarter over quarter in China. And obviously the caveat to that would be that Tesla did have the price reductions. They had some of the insurance incentives added. So if you're looking at flat sales here with lower pricing, revenue here likely declining for Tesla in China quarter over quarter. So I know we've been talking a lot about the markets and why Tesla stock has fallen and all those things. And obviously there's a multitude of reasons, but I think this graph kind of shows the main concern, right? We see Tesla's sales here in China flat for this period and revenue likely declining. And that's what people are worried about is going to continue to happen as we head into 2023. Now, everyone can have a different perspective on that, but just trying to explain, what I think the market's perception is and the market's concern is right now. Now, hopefully those things are more temporary caused by the circumstances with COVID and things like that. And we see Tesla rebound here a little bit in Q1 and beyond. But, I think the perspective is that there's going to be a little bit longer of a storm to weather that Tesla has to work through. And we talked about, a lot of that stuff and the implications of that yesterday. So that's where we're at with Tesla sales right now. And as I said, we should get a little bit more information on that later this week. All right, moving on to Tesla in Texas. Gail Lafar here pointing out some interesting stuff in the Texas legislative session that is starting now. On the agenda for the legislative session is in 41C here, the possibility to allow auto manufacturers to sell directly to consumers. So this has been a big question as Tesla's decided, of course, to build the Gigafactory in Texas. How would this law evolve? Has there been any negotiation between Tesla and Texas relating to that prior to that decision being made? So it's definitely good to see this pop up on the legislative agenda, and hopefully we see some progress here where Texas can allow this process for Tesla to sell directly to consumers. If Texas does that, hopefully that allows leverage for Tesla, something to point to with other states to hopefully make these same sort of updates. So it'll be exciting to follow that as the legislative session unfolds. I'm not sure exactly how long. I think that can take quite some time, but we'll try to keep an eye on that as that develops. And I know Gail here pointing out that Texas residents certainly can provide feedback and share thoughts on that as that process unfolds. So we'll keep a close eye on that. And then another update from Tesla, or from Tesmanian here on Texas. It looks like Tesla has maybe started to begin construction in a very loose way, I guess, in terms of the lithium refinery plans that we expect to be built in Corpus Christi down in Texas. One user on Twitter, I think Fungineer43, has been checking out the site, and they noticed that since November, this new sign has been added, and apparently, according to them, it says that this is a Tesla construction site. So, you know, I couldn't really tell from the photo here. It's a little bit too blurry to see exactly what this sign says, but there is a sign up there now, and hopefully that is, you know, a signal that Tesla is getting close to starting construction there. They also noted that originally when they went back in November, there had been dirt roads along the site, and that have been those roads have now been covered with gravel, so it could be a sign that things are getting ready to begin more serious construction. So good to see some progress on that. As we heard Elon say on the Twitter space a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, they are trying to, you know, maybe a little bit of hubris here, he said, I think, they're trying to have this in some meaningful production volume in, you know, 2 to 3 years. So it'll be interesting to follow that as that progresses. Next, we've got an update on Tesla in California. So they have shared on their blog, which has been underutilized as of late, I would say, but nice to see some action here on the blog. They've just laid out some of the footprints and economic benefits that Tesla has contributed to California over the last few years. They note how Tesla-supported jobs in California have increased 40% from 2018 to 2021. Their wages are higher than the state average, highest in the sector. They talk about how their, you know, wages from Tesla and Tesla-connected jobs have resulted in $16.5 billion in economic activity, $44 million injected into California's economy each day, which is, it's really nice to see. Obviously, there's been some tension between California and Tesla and Elon Musk as of late, so it's good to see Tesla kind of putting some of these facts down just so people have a place to go and reference some of these things when there are, you know, concerns about, oh, Tesla has left California for Texas or for China and things like that. Well, turns out Tesla's actually still growing pretty significantly in California as well, which Elon has reiterated, but again, nice to have this all just sort of locked down on one page here and communicated from Tesla. And they also note that they are confident that these trends, these growth trends, will continue and that 2023 will be an even bigger year for Tesla in California. So nice to see that update from Tesla. Next, we've got one of my favorite headlines in quite some time on Tesla. This is from Bloomberg. They say, Tesla fan filed boat jet trademark without company's knowledge. So you may have seen this earlier in the day, a trademark about Tesla filing for you know, the Tesla trademark in the areas for boats and planes and things like that for non-automotive use cases. And there was a lot of coverage of that, but apparently this was just filed by a fan. So it was signed by Jerome Eady, and Eady, according to Bloomberg, who got in contact with him, said that his intention here was to help the company by filing the application proactively after Elon said that the Cybertruck may be usable as a boat. He said that he has no affiliation with Tesla and the filing was made without the company's knowledge. So just a really supportive fan out there trying to step up and do some good work for Tesla. So pretty funny to read that, but if you did see those articles earlier in the day, important to note that that was done by a Tesla fan or a supporter. All right, moving on to the last few items here. We've got updated U.S. deliveries for GM for the fourth quarter, as well as year-to-date now. We can see how they came in for the total year. Focusing on electric vehicles for the Chevy Bolt, so the EUV / EV versions, they sold 38,000 vehicles this year. It's up 53.5% from last year. Again, United States only. The Hummer EV, they sold 850 units, and then the Cadillac Lyriq, a little bit newer, I think they sold just 122 units, a large percentage of that coming in Q4. But for the total then, that would put their, for the total year, all vehicle models, puts their total under 40,000 vehicles. So, you know, for Tesla, U.S. sales, that's, what, roughly a month or so? Maybe a little bit more than a month, but I think it's clear who the leader is in that case. So just wanted to pass those sales along from GM. We've also got an update from Rivian on their total production for the year. Came in at 10,000 for the fourth quarter and then 24,337 vehicles for the full year. Their guidance for the last 6 to 9 months has been 25,000 vehicles. So they did get pretty close to that. They ended up delivering 20,000 vehicles of that. So, you know, they're seeing a big split between deliveries and production as well, which is a good reminder that that does happen for automakers. It's just part of the business, and we're seeing that here with Rivian in this case as well. But I think congratulations in order for them for being able to get so close to that target. I think that was a reduced target from Rivian. I think they originally had 50,000 or something like that. But, you know, over the last 9 months, they've made really good progress, and we've talked about that smooth curve that their production has grown on in that time. So should be exciting for Rivian, and hopefully they can continue that progress next year. Obviously, they need to really get costs under control as well. Last couple things then, the Sony and Honda EV partnership that we've talked about, they have announced the brand name for that, I guess, and it's Afila, I think is what it is. I'm not sure if I'm saying that 100% correctly. You can see their prototype vehicle here, which I have to admit I did laugh at when I opened up this article. They've actually shown this prototype before, but it's, you know, it's certainly not catching to my eye, I guess. We'll see how they do with that, but they did announce that they're going to start taking orders for this vehicle in 2025 and deliveries in 2026. So that was sort of the big announcement, was the brand name today and then the timeline for production and sale in North America. This is supposed to be in the ballpark of a little bit under five seconds, 0 to 60. I don't think we have range or battery or pricing details yet, but seems to be sort of in that Model 3 type of a space. And then lastly today, this is outside of the automotive sector, but just kind of something interesting to pass along. Amazon has secured an $8 billion term loan that is for 1 year with the option to extend one more year. So just kind of interesting to see them tap into the debt market, presumably to just kind of provide a buffer there for some cash flow. I mean, they've talked about how, you know, they have a really wide range of earnings expectations, potentially not ending up with any profit for the fourth quarter. So now interesting to see them tap into this sort of credit line for the next couple of years. So interesting for Amazon, interesting for the implications that that has for the overall market. And it'll be, you know, interesting to follow along with what happens with Amazon here over the next couple of quarters. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, January 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.